Most people in podcasting today, and this has nothing to do with budgets. There are people with massive budgets who have the same issue, have no idea what they're doing, why they're doing it. Random interviews with random people about random topics, you know, which is getting a random audience with random results. And those who are going in with a strategy are now have a drawing stick or, you know, now have some sort of measurement whereby which to figure out whether or not the podcast is doing well. If you go out there and go, I really don't know why I'm podcasting. Well, at the end of the day, it's going to be really hard to determine if you're successful. If you know that you're podcasting for this plan, then you can determine whether or not you're successful.
So you're a smart business committed to innovation, to service, and to modern marketing. And you're asking, what's next? Wondering how you can become even more innovative. My name is Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and this is the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Hi, innovators. It's great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I do hope also that you enjoyed our most recent interviews with Elise Bennin, with Stephanie Hayes, and with Ty Crandall. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast today as my guest, Paul Colligan. Paul is an 11 times best-selling author. He's an executive podcasting consultant, a speaker, and a podcaster. Paul helps others leverage technology to expand their reach and revenue with reduced stress and no drama. I've been a follower of Paul ever since I started my business over 11 years ago, and I've learned a lot from all the information he's shared and published over the years. So I'm really excited to get into this podcast today. It's going to be another insightful and informative episode, so get ready to be inspired. Today's episode is brought to you by the Transformational Marketing Hub, where you'll find a host of free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. You can access the Transformational Marketing Hub by visiting innovabiz.co/VIP. If you don't yet have an account, click the blue Take a Peek Inside button. As I said, it's free and exceptionally useful. In our discussion today, Paul talked to me about the critical success factors for an engaging podcast. And I learned a lot from that, and I hope to implement some of that going forward in our podcasts. He talked to me about the trends in podcasting, and we also discussed the best time to plant a tree. Of course, that's a metaphor, but listen to the podcast to find out. So without further ado, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Paul Colligan. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome today to the InnovaBuzz podcast from Portland, Oregon in the USA, Paul Colligan, a podcast Hall of Famer, an 11 times best-selling author, executive podcasting consultant, speaker, and podcaster. Now, Paul helps others leverage technology to expand their reach and their revenue with reduced stress and no drama. Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Paul. It's a real privilege to have you as a guest.
Well, thank you so much. I do have to, I am not officially in the Hall of Fame. There is an official Hall of Fame now that's got many of my heroes in it, and I want to be true to form here. So, you know, who knows, maybe one day, but at this point, I'm not in the official Hall of Fame, although I've been doing it for a long time.
Well, when's the next round? Maybe you heard it here first.
Later this year, they'll be making announcements. Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think you deserve to be in the Hall of Fame anyway. Now, Gary Leyland, who is a Hall of Famer, podcast Hall of Famer, who was on episode 154 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested that we do speak with Paul. So a big hello to Gary.
Hey, Gary. Thank you, sir.
Now, I've been following you, Paul, ever since my business started over 11 years ago, and I've learned a lot from all the information that you've shared and published over the years. You host the Podcast Report. You've written 11 books that were bestsellers, probably a lot more books in total, but a couple of them are How to Podcast, Podcast Strategies, How to Stream Videos Live, and YouTube strategies, which all are ones that I think I read all the original versions of those, just to name a few of the titles. Now, I'm really excited to explore with you the topics that you're passionate about: podcasting, new media creation, multicasting, product development, and lifestyle design. But before we start talking about all things podcasting, media, and product and lifestyle, let's find out a bit more about your background. How did you get to where you are today, and what were some of the pivotal moments in that journey?
I have always found myself uniquely bilingual. I can speak business and I can speak tech. And there are a lot of nerds who can't speak business. There are a lot of execs who can't speak tech. I can speak both. And my entire career has been some version of that. I actually, right out of college, worked for a biomedical company who had all these requirements to the American Food and Drug Administration. And we had to track thousands of things. And this is back when, you know, computers were slow and expensive. And, you know, was able to go to the boardroom, figure out what the FDA needed, go downstairs, talk to the programmers, tell them what they needed to track. Internet pops up, and it was the same theme. I knew what the internet was going to do for businesses, and I was fascinated with how the internet worked. And internet popped up. It was there before me, but, you know, when I got onto it. And so started helping people build websites and start people building web presences and email lists and that type of thing. Played with the e-commerce space for a little while. Same thing. Help businesses do the e-commerce thing. Media starts to pop up. I actually got into podcasting way early. They say one step ahead, you're a visionary. Two steps ahead, you're a martyr. I was about six or seven steps ahead. So I actually have a book called The Business Podcasting Bible that came out over a year before the iPhone was even mentioned. And played in the podcasting space, the media space, the Kindle space. And then recently, about 3 years ago, podcasting really started to explode, and have now built a business entirely around it. And that is the podcast partnership, which is, you know, 99% of my life today.
Mm.
Business
so,
life.
Yeah. So when did you first start podcasting? Because you, when you mentioned that about the iPhone, I thought, yeah, that's right. I'm pretty sure I was listening to your podcasts on an iPad in the early days. iPod.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. I actually, in 2000, I had the unique opportunity to have dinner with Don Katz, the CEO of Audible. And at the time, I had a consulting job, and my Audible subscription was the only thing that really kept me sane. I'm not good for a suit and tie in an office somewhere. It was a great company. It was a great job. They treated me well. I just wasn't the right person for it. And Don, back in 2000, gave me the vision for Audible and gave me the vision for digital media and told me where these things were going to go. Mm. And I wanted to be part of it from that point on. In 2000, becoming part of Audible was way out of my budget. I wanted it. I actually released my first information product that was an audio product in 2000. Yeah. So I wanted to be there, but couldn't afford it. 2004 pops up, and this thing called podcasting starts making its rumblings. And to me, I was instantly not RSS feeds, XML schemas, MP3 codec compression algorithms. It was always, wait a minute, this is a way I can use tech to get my message out. And so from day one, I saw it as that and was hooked and never went back. Had to spend a few years paying the bills in other places, but never went back. Always excited about it.
Yeah. All right. Now, you mentioned that practically all of your time spent on podcasting these days. So what can you give us a summary of what you do today and why you do it?
Yeah. Well, so we are we like to position ourselves as a boutique podcast production agency. You know, we're not a one size fits all, because part of the beauty of podcasting is one size doesn't fit all. Mm. And we do boutique. We figure out what people need and we deliver it. A couple of differing models that we have that's kind of fun. Number one is we are retainer-based. I found a couple of years ago, what would happen is people would hire us, people would engage us, people would want to work with us, and they'd get up Wednesday morning and they'd go, you know, oh crap, I got to get a podcast out, and, you know, oh, and I got to pay Paul. And that combo is never good for Wednesday morning. Hmm. And so what we did was we moved to retainer. They already pay us. Bills go out on the first of the month. We're recording this on January 31st. Tomorrow, bills are going to go out. And because they're already paying us, the whole paradigm switches from, you know, I'm already paying for this, I might as well get the show out.
Yeah.
And we charge enough. We're not cheap. We charge enough that people know why they're getting the show out. They know the purpose for getting the show out. And then it goes from there. The elevator pitch is that we do what your team doesn't do. You know, we have found that podcasts take a team. And some people have some members of the team, some people don't. But what we do is we go in and help figure out what parts you have, what parts you don't, and then fill in the holes. And that has been extremely viable and valuable, and it has been our model, you know, ever since.
Hmm. Yeah, I really like that. And that fits with the concept of boutique. I find a lot of people that I speak to and doing work around their whole marketing campaigns, and where it seems to me that a podcast would be an ideal medium for them to get their message out, and they're in exactly that situation that we don't know how to publish, we don't know how to set up, we don't know how to edit audio, and so the concept of, well, we'll fill in the gaps and get it all done, is, I really like that.
Well, and we've identified that there are really six team members you need for a podcast. Now, some people might play the role of two of them, three of them, but the way the world works is we're really good at one thing, okay at something else, and then pretty bad at the rest. But you need these six team members, we call them. You need the strategy. Now, some people have a strategy. They've come to us and go, this is exactly what we want to do. Help us implement it. Great. Other people say, you know, well, I think I want a podcast, but I got to figure out a strategy. So that's the first role, is the strategy. The second role is the talent. You know, who's going to get in front of the microphone? Who's going to get in front of the camera? Who's going to actually record this stuff? We've had a few people chat with us about using us as the talent. They would send us the content. That's never really worked well. Part of the passion of podcasting is you really got to know internally who the talent is. The third one is the edit. Somebody's got to edit this bad boy up. And editing can be anything from snipping the tip and tail and putting some music onto it to a really in-depth interview. But the edit has to be done. Now, the publish has to be done. Not that complicated. If you set things up correctly, you did the strategy correctly, somebody has to click the buttons. But is that going to be you? Is that going to be me? The promotion of the podcast, that's huge. A lot of people make the podcast, they're great, and then they don't tell anybody, and it's the equivalent of a billboard in their basement. And then last but not least, and this is one of my favorites, and this is one of the areas where I think we really excel, is the review. Okay, I got 10 episodes out. I got 20 episodes out. I got 50 episodes out. What have we learned? What has worked? What hasn't worked? What can we do to implement to make it better? So a lot of people will say, you know, I've got people say, Paul, I want you strategy and review, and we'll do everything else. I have others who say, you know, I want to talk into a microphone and you make a podcast come out the other end. And, you know, all sorts of different things between. I got a guy who has a 4K, four camera video shoot in Los Angeles. He doesn't need our editing help at all, you know, but we do the other things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good snapshot of everything that's involved in podcasting. And I think that covers everything, because you starting with a strategy and really knowing why you're actually doing it and why you want to get what's the message you want to get out and why do you want to get that message out and who's your audience. So,
yeah. And we get called in all the time for shows. We get called in all the time for shows where people are 50 episodes in, 100 episodes in, and, you know, and they say, yeah, we really don't know what we're doing. And our answer is, yeah, it's obvious. You know, most of us can tell a show with no strategy. Well, it's Wednesday. I might as well do, you know, yeah, those shows we drop so quick, it isn't even funny. So once you figure out that purpose, once you figure out that strategy, then it becomes to make sense.
That's right. Yeah. And it makes it a lot easier to produce the content as well. Yep. So you mentioned about, you know, getting to Wednesday and saying, oh gosh, I've got to put together this podcast at the last minute. Now, I'll be totally honest, I have been in that situation very early on in my podcast. And then I realized that, hey, I don't have a strategy, and I haven't, or I had a strategy, but I haven't really documented or made it really clear on paper for everybody so that we can get together and develop a content plan that actually takes us to the point where we know the content that we're going to be publishing in March, for example, which is where you really want to be.
Well, and think about it from a, you know, we're talking all high and mighty on the prognostication podcast interview standpoint, but consider it from the listener standpoint. If someone ends a show with, and we'll see what happens next week, you know, why do I need to listen next week? If you don't know what you're doing next week, why do I care? You know, but if someone says this is part five in a 10-part series, and as you know, last time we did this and next week we're going to do this and we're going to close with this, now you're part of a narrative. Now you're part of something bigger. And you don't just want to listen to the episode and get that nugget. You want to subscribe and be part of the family.
Great advice. I'm just making a note, in fact, that I don't actually say in my podcast episode that, hey, we've got these guests coming up shortly, so keep tuned. Yeah. So in terms of podcasting, what are some of the things that are working really well today? And then what are some of the mistakes you see people making? So we've already talked about strategy, but what are some of the others?
Well, it sounds a bit petty, but the thing that we're working is, we see working is when someone has a strategy. Most people in podcasting today, and this has nothing to do with budgets. There are people with massive budgets who have the same issue, have no idea what they're doing, why they're doing it. Random interviews with random people about random topics, you know, which is getting a random audience with random results. And those who are going in with a strategy are now have a drawing stick or, you know, now have some sort of measurement whereby which to figure out whether or not the podcast is doing well. If you go out there and go, I really don't know why I'm podcasting, well, at the end of the day, it's going to be really hard to determine if you're successful. If you know that you're podcasting for this plan, then you can determine whether or not you're successful. So strategy right now is in short supply in the podcasting space. And we're finding that's working tremendously. And then with that becomes narrative, becomes, you know, this is what we did last episode. This is what we did, you know, next episode. This is how it all comes together. Once you do that, you become part of a bigger picture. You know, podcasts shouldn't be anthologies. Podcasts should be stories, you know, that progress over time. I want to every week, you know, hear what this guy's up to, hear what this guy's doing, hear what this gal is planning on next, hear what she's got for me in the next episode. You do that, you win.
Yeah, great advice. So in terms of podcasts then, and, you know, you talked about the talent, what's your view on having audio only or having video and audio?
Well, great question. My view is the most important thing is to get it out there. And if video is going to prevent you from getting it out there, get it out there. Forget about video, just go audio.
Yeah.
You know, you can get up Wednesday morning, throw on a pair of pants and record your show. And, you know, for some people that's all they've got. So I really, really like that. Video, I'm not going to say the future is video, but I'm going to say that, you know, video is bigger. You know, video is audio with pictures. And so if you can do video, definitely do it. We've got a number of clients who are doing it, doing video podcasts. They're working really well. And it all goes back to the strategy thing. See, if you are getting up Wednesday morning, putting on a pair of pants, recording a show, that you have no idea what you're doing, well, why are you setting up the camera? Why are you setting up the lights? If you are doing a season of 12 episodes about a topic, you might want to get that knocked out in a day or two. And because you've got the next 3 months knocked out, you might be able to afford a video crew. Or you might be able to, at the very least, you know, put on a shirt and comb your hair, you know, and do the video that way. So if you have a strategy, I really like it, but if it's going to stop you from production, don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great advice. And I'm actually in a situation right now of looking at starting a second podcast, and I want to go video on this one, partly for my own benefit of getting in front of camera more and stretching my skills. But it has actually been more of a challenge and has delayed me getting started. So maybe I need to take that advice. So there's no reason why I can't.
You know, one thing you can do is you can think in the season mode, you know, and season one maybe is just audio. And then season two introduced the world. Hey, we're in season two. Now we got video. Or maybe that's season three or season four. Just get that thing done. There's an old American witty statement or whatever you call them, that is, you know, if they ask you when the best time to plant a tree is the answer is 20 years ago or today.
Hmm.
And, you know, start getting that show out. I mean, what you said about getting in front of the camera is true, and that's how you get good at it. But that's how you also get good at the microphone. That's how you get good at writing. That's how you get good at riding a bike, walking, tying your shoes. So start, see what happens, go from there.
Hmm. Great advice. All right. So on the subject of video, I notice you're doing a few of your episodes recently on live streaming. So what's the benefit when you do video of going live? And what do you suggest for people that are interested in that, how they might get started?
This is a great question. And the answer is not what most would think it is. I did an article about 3 or 4 months ago that I did not expect to be as shocking as it was. But what we did was we compared Facebook Live versus YouTube versus making that content, audio content, releasing that as a podcast. And because the question I get all the time, actually, I don't get it as much as I used to. The question I used to get a lot was, why in the world should I podcast when I can just, you know, pick up my phone and go live to the 2 point whatever billion people that are on Facebook?
Hmm.
And from a math standpoint, that makes a heck of a lot of sense. You know, I was working with a client who has followers in the millions, but we went live on Facebook with them. And within 15 minutes, we had 85,000 people watching his show.
Hmm.
So the reach is there, the impact's there, the concept's there. But I started looking deeper. And I started looking at the average time that somebody watches a Facebook show. It's minimal. The average is less than 10 seconds. And the thing is, it's not that Facebook sucks or all these other things. It's just that Facebook's not a medium. Nobody goes to Facebook to watch long-form video.
Hmm.
You don't go to Facebook to get a quick hit. You know, Facebook is like driving down the freeway in many ways, and your stuff should be a billboard, you know, not a movie screen. And so, you know, the average video, you know, one organization who told me, and I quote, we're killing it on Facebook, their average consumption, which is, you know, based on how long the video show was divided by how long people watch, their average consumption was effectively 0%. And they were quote unquote killing it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Now we take that same video and we put that video on YouTube. And the audience that watches it watches about half of it. So 20-minute video, 9 seconds on Facebook, 10 minutes on YouTube. Which would you rather have?
Hmm.
Well, here's the funny thing. If the content's any good, that same content saved as audio, they're consuming, if the content's good, all the way to the end.
Yeah.
So why go to Facebook? A couple reasons. Number one, Facebook reminds them that I'm there. See, they do drive by. They go, oh, Paul's recording something. Yeah, he's going to put on the podcast. I haven't checked in the podcast recently. But number two, that's really fun. When you're performing live, a different kind of energy flows through your blood. You know, if you had sent me, hey, I want to interview you, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you 8 questions, and I want you to send me 8 audio files that are the 8 answers, A, I'd probably never do it.
Hmm.
But B, the energy would just be like, all right, let me knock out one of these before dinner, you know, and then I'll do another one in the morning and, you know, yawn, yawn, yawn. But if we go live, you know, now we got a time, we got a place, we're going to make this happen, we're going to make this go. And if I go live to Facebook, here's the funny thing. I could, in theory, have no one show up. But here's the cool thing. But I'm afraid that they might show up, or I don't know if afraid's the right word. I'm thinking they might show up. I'm prepared for them to show up. So as a result, I'm in gear. I'm thinking live. The blood is flowing better. All the synapses are firing. So I record a lot of them live on Facebook because, you know, it gets me to do it. And as a matter of fact, after this, I'm going to be recording an episode of the podcast, you know, live to Facebook, sitting in front of the screen. And that live feeling, even if nobody shows up. Now, I'm fortunate enough, I got enough of a following that they will show up. But even if they don't show up, I still got that buzz.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good way of looking at it. It's kind of like getting on stage to do a presentation or a speech rather than just reading the speech and recording it.
Exactly. And the ones on stage always have more energy.
Hmm.
And if you know, and so many people, I really need to record me an episode. You know, if you are in the really need to record me an episode phase, you're never going to record an episode. But if you promised your Facebook page that you're going live Friday at 4, you got to get ready.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good way of looking at it. And I always wondered about Facebook, you know, for the same reason as you pointed out, how long do people stay on? Because if I've done a live, you see people jump on and then you see people pop off, and you later on you look at the recording and the statistics and you say, well, you know,
they're miserable.
Yeah, there's lots of people just jump in and okay, I can watch
it. Don't think of it on consumption. Think of it on don't think of it on consumption. Think of it as your recording stage.
Yeah. And I think it's a, as you said, it's a good tool to promote the podcast or promote any content, really. It's a, I've often gone on and done a quick live thing that's only a minute or two, telling my audience, hey, there's a new podcast episode, or I've just published this blog post, or whatever it might be. But that, to me, that was kind of just a different form of delivering that message and maybe standing out from the other messages that are there. But you're right, it's a, it is a different energy as well. All right, now you say in some of your about me sections that you're very focused on building systems and processes that work for the user, and that's led you to a lot of the products and training materials that you've been involved in. So talk to us a little bit more about your philosophy there around systems and processes, because I imagine
honestly, I believe that the entire planet right now, or at least the connected planet, is made up of two thoughts on life. Thought one is tech is here to make our lives harder, and our job is to kind of conquer the tech. And the other thought process is tech is here to make our lives easier, and our life here is to leverage the tech. And honestly, I see that as the difference between Microsoft and Apple. Microsoft's like, well, computers are here. They're part of our future. We as Microsoft are going to help you tame this beast. And that's sort of their attitude. And that's why they come up with this concept of, you know, 365 different colors that you can coordinate your folders with for your email file management system. But nobody's really asking, do we need that many emails, you know, and should we be filing them, and should they be color-coded?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Apple says, you know, let's do this, this, and this. And so when people say, yeah, it's not as complex, it's not what will correct. I like that it's not as complex. And so I've always been from, what do the computers do to make our life easier? You know, when we look at the computers in terms of how they make our life harder, that's bad science fiction. You know, that's when the robots take over. I mean, there are people who are literally serving the machine, you know, and not vice versa. So all of tech should be a process. And I have a dear friend who sees his cell phone as almost an electronic leash. Me, I see my cell phone as, you know, now I can be reached if there's an emergency. You know, two entirely different processes. So we build systems, we build processes that make it really, really easy for people to get stuff done. You know, we, one of the things we do is, you know, the podcasting space, people get overwhelmed with selection and choice. And one of the things that was keeping our clients very, very preoccupied in an almost ridiculous manner was they would spend months outlining or researching what microphone they should end up using. And what we did was we now send our clients a microphone when they start. Here's your launch microphone. Here's the microphone you launch with. You know, and it goes out of the way. You know, and the cost for me to mail them the microphone and the spit guard and the boom and get it shrink wrapped from Amazon and get it shipped in 2 days is less than $100. And we charge, you know, a lot more than that. A lot. And so therefore, you know, it's just a part of doing business. But now instead of, oh my God, Paul, I got to figure out which microphone to use, I get a text that says, thanks for sending me the mic. I'm ready to go. And that's the process that people need to take. You know, you can buy these little boxes that you put your microphone inside of, and it's basically soundproofing on all three sides. You talk into the box, and now you have the soundproofing of a studio without having to spend a couple of $1,000 to soundproof your room.
Yeah.
You know, let's do the things that make sense. You know, email. You know, who has the right to email you is the first question. You know, and if the whole world has the right to email you, well, then you're going to answer emails from the entire world. But maybe some of the emails go to someone else. One thing we do is if someone wants to talk about doing the podcast, you know, we have an entry fee to just start the conversation. Now, if you go with us, that entry fee goes towards your purchase. But what this does is now it's really only people who are serious about talking with us. We have the conversation. We no longer have the, well, I'm thinking about a podcast. What microphone should I get? You know, it's now, okay, we're ready to go. Here's our strategy. How can you help? It just changes the game. So when you build the right kind of system, everything changes. You know, I used to lose my keys a lot. You know, I'd forget where I put my keys. Are they in my pants? Are they in my jacket? Are they on the table? Are they on the dresser? Are they in the bathroom? Who knows? You know, I put a nail by the door. And now when I come into the house, I put my keys on the nail.
Yeah.
And all that time spent worrying about where the keys are is gone because I just put them on the nail.
Hmm. That's a great little analogy, yeah, and that is a system. It's just a very simple system.
And it's David Allen, the trusted system, whatever system works for you. I'm not saying get a nail. I'm just saying don't spend any brain cycles worrying about where your keys are.
Yeah, and I think the microphone one, I mean, there's a couple of things I really like about that. But in talking about the nail analogy, it just takes away something that's a barrier and it makes it very simple. The second thing I really like about it, of course, is the experience somebody has. Well, not only have you taken away a decision, you've actually given me something that I know is going to work and it's delivered, it's ready to go. I just plug it into my computer and I'm off and running.
And so we have clients who talk into their microphone, save the file to Dropbox and do nothing else. And, you know, we have other clients who stress about getting us the files. You know, Dropbox is an easy way to do it. And so we've always been about the systems that ease things. You know, we do a lot of work in the cloud. You know, I don't keep huge hard drives of backup storage projects and stuff. I pay a few $100 a month and have them all backed up in the cloud and less dust and less noise. And, you know, I've got somebody who's much more obligated to make sure they get it right than I am. I win.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. And the other one I like is your entry fee to start the conversation. I mean, that's a really great way. I can't remember who it was that I was speaking to in the podcast, but they said something along the lines of, if you're having issues with your customer, then you've picked the wrong customer. So you're kind of setting up a system up front where basically you're picking the right customers or they're picking you, and then they're making a commitment before you start any work. So you know once they've made that payment and signed up that they're committed.
Well, it's not perfect. There have been people who have paid that I, you know, are the, when am I going to podcast kind of stuff. But they are, first of all, they paid some money. So I got a little revenue coming in, you know, and so it's not perfect, but it's a filter that you know, solves 99% of my problems.
Yeah.
You know, we're never going to solve 100%, but man, if we can solve 90, if we can solve 80% of our problems, these things get a lot better. So worst case scenario is I could have somebody who has no idea what they're doing and I don't know where they even got the $500 to pay me, but they did. And so therefore, let's give them a good time.
So how big is your team that you have working on all this?
Four employees and then just a lot of virtual help. I'm all for outsourcing. I'm all for, you know, strategic design.
Yeah. Okay. And how many podcasts would you have running at any one given time?
Some running are we, you know, if I'm only doing the consulting and the results, is that running? But we got about 16 clients right now.
So there we go. That's pretty impressive. And I like the whole structure of everything there. I mean, you've covered really everything. And I imagine that if somebody's interested in doing, say, YouTube videos, that the whole process will be the same. There's just the added added bit of video. So there's video.
Yeah, it's just more to the retainer.
Hmm. All right. And what do you see as some of the trends coming up in podcasting? I noticed you did some episodes recently talking about why you should be on Pandora and why you should be on Spotify. And I listened to the Spotify one just yesterday, and I thought that's a really interesting take. I had my podcast on Spotify probably since near the beginning, but I never really thought about why it was there. It was just, okay, that's another directory. I'll put it on there. It seems to be a big one.
Well, the two trends that are, to me, very exciting, trend number one is a year ago, we used to have to say, listen to this show wherever you get your podcasts.
Hmm.
But now, because we're on Pandora, because we're on Spotify, because we're at these other places, we can now change that to listen to the show wherever you get your audio.
Yeah.
Opens up the door. Opens That's up the right. door big. Yeah. You know, Pandora is a North American-only entity, so not that exciting for you. So I forgive you for not listening to that episode. You know, but in the grand scheme of things, there are more active monthly users for the Pandora product in North America than there are monthly active users for podcasting. Hmm. Now, that's the recent numbers for each. I have a feeling there's a report coming out in a couple of weeks that might change that, but at least to the time of this recording, that's the situation. So, you know, I joke about it, but, you know, there are really two types of people in this world, those who know what a podcast is and those who don't. Those who know what a podcast is don't care. Those who don't know what a podcast is can get confused. So therefore, don't call it a podcast, call it a show.
Hmm.
Don't say get it on your podcatcher, say get it wherever you listen to audio. Bam, your audience just doubled.
Yeah, that is a big thing because often I find I talk to people about I have this podcast and you should go listen to something or other because there's a topic that comes up in conversation that might be there might be an episode that's relevant to that topic. And people say, well, how do I listen to it? You know, and then I have to explain, well, you download this app. And okay, which app? Well, there's lots of different apps you can use, but that it sort of takes away from the actual topic and goes back to what is a podcast and what do I have to do to get it? Yeah. So I really like that because sometimes those people will have something like Spotify or Pandora or whatever it might be that they listen to music or books or whatever.
And I tell this joke a lot, but it's true. You know, my mother to this day, if you ask her, have you ever listened to one of your son's podcasts? She'll tell you, you know, no, because I don't have an Apple. You know, now if you ask her, won't your son buy you an Apple? She'll say, yeah, but it's too complicated.
Yeah.
Now, mom has a Kindle Fire. And on mom's Kindle Fire is the iHeartRadio app, which, by the way, my podcast is on.
Yeah.
And when I saw that mom had the iHeartRadio app, I'm like, hey, mom, I'm on iHeartRadio. And she looks at me as only a mom can. And she goes, you know, no, son, this is only for radio.
Yeah.
No, but mom, I'm on there. And she looks at me and the eyes get big. Are you on the radio now? You know, and these lines are blurring. And so, you know, we can't really help my mom, possibly on a lot of levels, you know, but we can make the dialogue wherever you get your audio.
Hmm. And also, I imagine you do this. I didn't actually check, but you can send the audio to YouTube and
you know,
do various tricks there. So, so it becomes a video.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people who get their audio on YouTube.
Hmm.
You know, we have a client who actually gets, you know, and this is a client with figures in the five digits who gets 10% of his downloads from YouTube.
Hmm.
YouTube is bigger than, you know, is his second biggest aggregator. And because his audience goes to YouTube and listens to audio there.
Yeah.
And so, put it, you know, if you, there's a study by an American organization called Edison Research. Every year they do a big study called the Infinite Dial. and the infinite dial is a study of what happens when you no longer only have one radio station in your town, but you have an infinite dial. The study's been going on for 20 years, longer than podcasting's been around. And one of the things that they said last year that was really interesting is that kids get more music recommendations from YouTube than anywhere else. Hmm. And we always think of music as audio. So yeah, put your podcast wherever people listen to it.
Yeah. And of course, YouTube is the second biggest search engine.
Exactly. Well, well, and then if you want to get technical, you know, have you ever seen YouTube results in Google?
Hmm. So they actually...
Well, on flip side this, have you ever seen Google results in YouTube?
No, that's right.
Who's the biggest search engine?
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, I definitely recommend putting stuff in YouTube.
Hmm. All right. Well, I could go on talking podcasting and media and all these things for ages. I really appreciate this, Paul. I think it's time, though, we moved on to the Buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed to help our audience who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field with some tips from your experience. So I've got five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers that'll inspire everyone and help them do something awesome today.
All right, let's do it.
So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Hunger for it. Mm-hmm. Innovation only happens if it's desirable.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people really satisfied. I got a buddy who's a truck driver. He's really satisfied about truck driving. He's not going to wake up in the morning and get innovative about it. Mm. You want to be innovative, you got a hunger for it.
Yeah. That's great advice. Yeah. So you need to have a desire, have a motive to actually take the actions.
Yeah. And by the way, my buddy's a truck driver. He's a great buddy. I love the guy. Hmm. You know, it's just innovation just isn't part of his life.
Yeah.
Doesn't make him bad, doesn't make him good, but, you know, I'm just not going to expect it from him.
That's right. All right. Well, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas or new products?
Giving myself time. You know, if your day is filled with stuff, you're not going to be able to get better. You got to block out some time, thinking time, dreaming time. You know, some people that's journaling, some people that's sketching, some people that's long walks on the beach, but you just got to give yourself time to find this stuff. If at the end of the day, you're too exhausted to do anything, you know, you can't be surprised that nothing gets done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great advice. And there's so many different ways to tackle that, isn't there?
And it's back to like what I said about email. You know, if I answered every single email that went to me, I wouldn't have the ability to innovate.
Yeah.
So therefore, I don't answer every email that comes to me. I got systems in place, you know, and therefore I have the time to innovate. So you got to, you know, kind of goes back to the first question. You got to hunger for it. You got to plan for it. Got to look for it. And then you got to do it.
Hmm. All right. Thanks for that. Now, do you have a favorite tool or something that you use quite a lot? Now, I'm guessing that a lot of the recording tools and so on would come into that, but is there something else?
Well, it's a tool, category of tools. I love the cloud. Mm-hmm. You know, I could leave the studio today, forget my phone here at the studio, drive home. The studio could blow up in a fiery nuclear blast. You know, on the way home, I could, you know, realize that a flood was coming, grab my wife, no time, wife and kids out the door. The house is destroyed. The office is destroyed. The house is destroyed. My business could be up and running in an hour.
Yeah.
Because of the cloud. And so I no longer worry where files are. Now I pay more money per month than others do, but that worry goes away. And the cloud just lets me exhale, lets me not worry about things, lets a laptop break now and then, lets a phone get lost now and then without things getting hidden. So the cloud is the most important thing to come out of the internet.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a really great tool, isn't it? I had a situation a number of years ago where I was actually on a holiday, but I was doing kind of a day's work a week. And on the first week of the 6-week holiday, the laptop died. And so I was without a laptop. And then went and bought another one. And as you say, within about an hour to 2 hours, I had everything, all my files, access to all my files, everything in place that I could continue working.
And it's funny because people will spend a huge load of money to make sure that that laptop is insured so that if you do break it, you could get it fixed. But why not just insure the data?
Yeah. Which is the important thing, right? Because you can get another laptop, but you can't replace the data. Hmm. All right. What's the best way to keep a client on track?
Keep clear vision of where they're going?
Yeah.
You know, because if a client comes to me and says, what are we doing again? You know, we're on the path to goodbye.
Yeah.
When the client calls and says, how are we doing this? You know, we're on the path to success.
Yeah.
And you just got to be on top of it. Got to have a purpose and then it goes from there. And we've built that in the system. We actually just started a monthly report for all of our clients that goes through the process of the numbers that we think are important. And it's that point. And once a month on the 15th, you know, they get that report, one sheet of paper, keeps them on track. Hey, you know, last month you got more than you got this month. You're going downhill. Hey, that episode that you thought was really special, people only listened to for 10 minutes. You know, or that episode that you weren't so sure about was a runaway hit. Let's do more of these.
Yeah.
Keep them on track.
Yeah, great advice. And I like the idea of the report and the kind of dashboard things, because I find that if I don't have a dashboard in place, or if I lose sight of it or forget to just keep regular eyes on that, then things will go off track.
Yep.
All right. Now, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
That's a good question. To me, it sounds a bit rote here, but just differentiate yourself, like which requires that you know what the difference is. You know, when we built the podcast partnership, there are 1,000 people edit your show, some good, some bad, but I'm not going to be in the game where we're comparing, you know, editing rates. And so you got to understand what is out there to be able to differentiate, but then make that task. And there's a great book called Blue Ocean Strategy, which is actually codified the process of differentiating yourself and has made it kind of how you do that. And so I would say probably the best thing is to either read Blue Ocean Strategy or read Linchpin by Seth Godin. That kind of sets you up with the mindset. But you just gotta sit out and do it. You know, I would not be where I'm at today if I was just another podcast editing company.
Yeah.
You know, we're a podcast boutique production agency. Gosh darn it. You know, and that was on purpose and that was intentional, giving myself the time to figure it out, building the systems to make it possible. We have some behind the scenes secret sauce that's worth its weight in gold. And therefore, when the clients, you know, purchase or invest in our systems, you know, we're giving them gold.
Yeah. That's definitely one way to differentiate yourself. And there's kind of an element in that I think a lot of people lose sight of. So you've been in the podcasting game since 2004. So, you know, you've obviously got a lot of expertise, but because of your philosophy on systems and processes, you've built all the systems, you've learned techniques and things to make it easy. You've learned techniques and skills to make it really high quality and also to keep producing it on a regular basis, because you've been doing it for 14 or 15 years. So there's all of that presumably built into your service, and that is a differentiator, and to be able to leverage that is something that I think people often overlook.
Yep, I agree. Don't tell too many people. Don't leverage this on the internet or anything.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul. This has been really great. Where can people reach out and get in touch and say thank you for all that you've shared with us?
Well, the podcast report, long story on why I didn't get podcast report, but thepodcastreport.com is the podcast about podcasting. Love to have you subscribe there. I've got a book called, get this, How to Podcast. It's wherever fine books are sold, including, of course, Australia. And if you want more about the organization, it's podcastpartnership.com.
All right. That's great. And we'll have links to all of those in the show notes so that people can click straight through and see what Paul's up to and get in touch. Now, wrapping up, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in innovation and in their field?
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
That's interesting. Can you elaborate on that?
Grandma taught me that, you know? Yeah. And it's, well, because a lot of, you know, I want to get a podcast. They're easy. I just grab a microphone and record, okay, right? Yeah, No, please, no. You know, yeah, you can do a podcast. You can do a YouTube channel. You can spend time on Facebook. You can do LinkedIn. You could write blogs. You could write a book. You know, you could dance a one-legged jig. You know, I mean, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And the opportunity for podcasting is so easy. The barrier to entry is so easy. I mean, you can literally pick up your phone. I mean, there's an app now. Don't use it, but there's an app called Anchor.
Yeah.
That will literally let you create a podcast, you know, on your phone. Technologically, it's amazing. Intellectual property-wise, it's terrifying. But, you know, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And, we can do this, right? Yes, should you? I want to do this. Why? You know, because we can. No, not enough. So yeah. You take that to the bank and, you know, everything else kind of comes together.
Yeah. Yeah. So why is such a great question, and having clarity. And, you know, you talked about having clarity of vision to keep clients on track. I think you having clarity of vision around everything helps keep you on track. So, yeah, good answer. All right. Finally, who would you like me to interview on a future Another Buzz podcast and why? There it is, that question.
I think it would be really interesting to interview someone who's been podcasting for the same show for a long time, see what has changed and get their perspective on that. Any podcast with 300, 400 episodes, I think would be really interesting. One of my biggest regrets was I had restarted my podcast 8 or 9 times. And I wish I'd kept one all this time. I'd be in an entirely different place. But any podcaster out there with that kind of longevity to talk about the longevity would be really interesting.
All right. We'll do a bit of digging around, see who's around that fits that category and see if we can talk to them. Great. Thanks, Paul. Thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us today. You've been so generous. You've given us a lot of food for thought around podcasting and, in fact, around, you know, asking that question, why, in terms of whatever we decide to do. And you know, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Advice. I've really enjoyed this immensely. I've learned a lot. I'm really excited to have connected with you after all this time of following you. So I wish you all the best for the future and let's keep in touch. I'm really excited to see where the podcast report goes from here and also the podcast partnership. So let's keep in touch.
Will do. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed that insightful and thoroughly engaging conversation with Paul and, like me, learnt a lot. Paul is clearly very passionate about all things podcasting. There are a couple of points that stood out for me from today's episode. Firstly, the 6 key functions critical for a successful podcast, and often people forget many of those functions. And having a clear strategy for your podcast and weaving a storyline from one episode to the next. Of course, there was so much more in the interview with Paul. I'd love to know what you took away from Paul's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which can be found at innovabiz.co/Paul Colligan. That is PaulColligan. Or lowercase or one word, innovabiz.co/Paul Colligan. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Paul there, as well as links to the podcast report, to Paul's website, and the resources that we spoke about. Paul suggested I interview a podcaster that has produced one podcast on an ongoing basis for 300 or 400 episodes to explore with them what has changed in that time. So on a future Innova Buzz podcast, we'll start off by doing some research and identifying candidates that fit that criteria and get them on the Innova Buzz podcast. So stay tuned to find out who we invite. Remember to visit innovabiz.co/VIP to access the Transformational Marketing Hub and all its free and exceptionally useful information to help you transform your marketing. Tune in again next week. We've got more fantastic guests lined up, including podcasting and marketing consultant Jan Ilunga, TV anchor and co-founder of Lady Drinks, Joya Das, as well as Oscar Trimboli of the Deep Listening podcast. Stay connected. Subscribe to the Innova Buzz podcast so you'll make sure you'll never miss another episode. Head on over to innovabiz.co/subscribe. We'd also love you to leave us a review because what you think matters to us. Take some of the ideas you've heard today and apply them in your business. Any thoughts, ideas, suggestions, or questions, then share them in the comments below the blog post. And remember, if you want to get better marketing results than you ever have, join our fantastic Facebook community at the Tales of Marketing Transformation Facebook group. All you have to do is go to innovabiz.co/TMA. It's free to join. I hope to see you there soon. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.